What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast that for 1 week only does like Mondays. Coming up, putting our championship cards on the table, James McLean in controversy shocker, Charlton lose their goal-scoring touch, and why Bradford is the hottest ticket in town, the town of Bradford. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And yeah, we just loved that League One, League Two action so much this weekend that we thought we'd better come to you early to talk about it. It is in no way because one of us is going on holiday tomorrow and would therefore be unavailable for the usual Thursday podcast slot. It's me, Matt. I'm joined by Adrian Clark. You okay, Clarky?
Hello. Yeah, very good. Feeling fresh. Yeah, I've not really done much over the weekend. It was quite refreshingly quiet, which is nice.
A rare treat. Sam Parkin's back with us too. Not so fresh from Wimbledon versus Barrow on Saturday. Sam, how was your weekend other than that? Because we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, really good, mate. Yeah. Football filled, I would suggest, especially yesterday. Saturday, obviously going to a game, but yesterday played football pretty much for the whole day, and I'm feeling like sharp as well. I haven't had the boots on for a while, but I had them on in the park. My oldest boy gets very, very excited if I don the clobber. So, got a little bit of a taste for it.
Okay, so next time there's a Chelsea Legends game, which I was commentating on this weekend, I shall say to manager Roberto Di Matteo that Sam Parkin is fit and available for selection rather than just waiting for reports on his mates so that he can slag him off. Fine. We are going to later look at the Championship, which returns this weekend, but we thought we'd do a little prediction special on who we think's going up and down. Before that, though, let me tell you about an offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for more information on gambling responsibly. And we are going to start today by looking back at the best of the action in Leagues 1 and 2. And before we get to that, they didn't play this weekend, but worth noting that Reading owner Dai Yong has been given a deadline of the 4th of April to sell the club after he was disqualified under the EFL's owners and directors test. Given what we know about him, it seems unlikely he'll go quietly, but we've got our fingers crossed on that one. In less troubling news, Scott Lindsay returned to Crawley as we thought he might when we discussed it on Thursday. He started his second spell with a 1-0 win over Bristol Rovers to keep their slim survival hopes alive. Elsewhere, a shock result at London Road, where Peterborough beat informed Charlton 3-0 to give themselves a 9-point buffer from relegation troubles whilst dealing a big blow to Charlton's automatic promotion hopes. We ought to start, Clarkie, with the winners, hadn't we? Full focus on Wembley now for Posh, given that they're basically safe. Nathan Jones was full of praise for their front four, and that was the difference for them here. They were ruthless with their chances where Charlton were not.
Yeah, look, Peterborough will always score goals, won't they? They have, you know, they've had that capability the whole season. They were just too porous, too inexperienced at the start of the season at the back. But they've addressed it. In January, they brought in Sam Hughes, who from Stockport on loan, really experienced centre-half. And I think he's helped to really stabilise the rear guard. He scored in this game as well. So he's added that steel, that nous that they really needed, just bringing the best out players around him, like Oscar Wallin, who played well at the weekend. But yeah, the forwards are always lively. I think it helps that Kwame Poku's back. He didn't complete the game. He's sort of feeling his way back, but he's a big player. Great ball in, actually, for the Hughes goal. And what he's done, Ferguson, he's just tweaked things a little bit. He's put Malik Mothersill in as number 10. Now, I'll tell you what this reminds me of. This reminds me of Morgan Rodgers playing at number 10. So it's not your typical Ødegaard-style player who flits between the lines and drops the shoulder. And, you know, he's really clever. Mothersill is obviously more of a pacey player, more athletic, powerful, and can play. And that's what he brings to that number 10 role. He's just got great running power, directness. And he was brilliant in this game and got a goal that his performance deserved. And look, they're in good form now, coming in towards that Virtue Trophy final against Birmingham. And if they play to that level, I've actually got a chance of defending the trophy against Birmingham, I think, because, yeah, that to absorb a lot against Charlton. We had a lot of shots, but I think Peterborough could have got five or six here. You know, they missed some big chances as well. So, yeah, unbeaten in eight, conceded two in the last six. Posh are flying. Posh are basically playing like a promotion chase inside at the moment. So, well done to them.
Yeah, we saw that rarest of things here, a free kick awarded for a back pass. Even rarer that it results in a goal, which it eventually did here. Nathan Jones is on good form post-match, Sam. His team had 25 shots without scoring. He said most of them ended up in Stevenage. First defeat in seven for them. 8 points off the automatic promotion places. Big game at home to Huddersfield next, but is that them done in terms of chances of avoiding the playoffs and going straight up?
Never say never, but I think, you know, the three teams above them are formidable, aren't they? I think it's a two-horse race, really, for that second promotion spot between Wrexham and Wickham, as we expected a few weeks ago. Yeah, rare off day for Charlton. That said, a couple of golden chances, I think, at 0-0. Godden certainly on his left foot. There was another opportunity, I think, from a corner. Jones hit the bar, didn't he, as well? So if they'd have got their noses in front, I think it could have been very different. But yeah, a day where Peterborough's flair players came to the fore, and yeah, echo what Clarkie said about Hughes at the back, but Poku returning as well from injury, I think, is going to be pivotal to their survival and their rise up the table. I think for Charlton, they had that formula that I spoke of previously with Edwards at full back and Small a little bit higher on the right. That's obviously been broken up because of injury in the last couple of games. So maybe a little bit of a knock-on effect from that. But yeah, no doubt it's been one of the stories of the division this season, Charlton's rise after the position they were in. So I think you could tell from Nathan Jones' manner, just dust himself down and get ready for the next two games, which are really big ones, as you say. Huddersfield next up.
Well, that Charlton defeat, music to the ears of Wrexham, who edged out Stockport by a goal to nil in North Wales. Jay Rodriguez converted the rebound after his penalty was saved. It's his first goal for Wrexham. The win moves them into second place at Wickham's expense. What did you make of the penalty award then, Sam? Ibu Touré eventually penalised for handball. Ref had initially given a corner. Felt like James McLean getting in the ear of the assistant played a part here. Dave Challenor wasn't happy about it. Really, really poor decision, he said. What did you think?
Never a penalty, in my opinion. Little bit of contact from McLean on Touré, which you'd anticipate, but that means that his body shifts and his arm flails a little bit. I hate these being awarded. So yeah, really surprised. And it took, it seemed from watching the highlights, a bit of an eternity conversation between obviously the referee and the assistant. And Stockport, I think, rightly aggrieved. The response from J-Rod was good, though, wasn't it? After I questioned the move and his
good rebound finish, wasn't it? Because it wasn't easy.
It was. I almost want to say that it might have been easier for the goalkeeper to save the second one than the penalty, if that makes any sense. He shouldn't really have scored from that angle on his swinger. So maybe Adai would have liked to have done a little bit better. But a game of few chances, two strong, robust teams that don't give loads away. I think Stockport have just dropped off a little bit in terms of their creation and scoring of goals. Only really Rathbone with a header had an opportunity to add another goal, a little bit more gloss to the scoreline. Hard fought, massive win because of that rivalry we spoke of. But yeah, I think Dave Challenor are right to be aggrieved.
Then it gets a little bit ugly at halftime. A confrontation allegedly between McLean and a Stockport fan. The supporter allegedly aiming a punch at the Wrexham skipper before being kicked out of the ground. Imagine if James McLean and Jamie Vardy had ever been in the same team. Horrific.
Yeah, could have been lively. I mean, I think it was pretty disgraceful, really, the way that decision came about.
Especially because it looked like the officials had been influenced, right? Because they'd given him the corner.
Absolutely. Because he was so vociferous. And I'm not having a go at James McLean here. You know, he's allowed, providing the referee doesn't think he's taking it too far, he's allowed to complain. But it's like they just backed down. And Sam's right, there was a little bit of contact on him. That's why the arm goes up in the air. And anyway, it's point-blank range. It's absolutely never, ever, ever, ever a pen. And that, if I'm a Wickham fan, I'm fuming at the officials there. I think that is the weakest piece of officiating I've seen for a long, long time, actually. So, yeah, I'm not surprised it's caused a kerfuffle. But, yeah, Wrexham, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, the most 1-0 win victories in League One history now. Achieved. Unlocked it. 10 1-0ers this season. I think they've got another couple in the EFL trophy as well. So they are the 1-0 Kings. Yeah, this was a tight game. Probably should have finished 0-0. But it's Wrexham that get a massive 3 points. Huge.
Yeah, big result for them. So they go above Wickham, albeit they've played a game more than the Chairboys. 3 points is the gap between those two. League Two really made the most of its moments in the spotlight. 5 of the 11 games finished goalless, and there were 3 1-0s in there as well. So we'll ignore all of those and move on to Wimbledon's 2-2 draw against Barrow, which Sam saw most of. Quite the finish to this one. The Dons letting a 2-goal lead slip, conceding in the 88th and 96th minutes. Still third, but only goal difference keeping them in the automatic promotion places. And 2 wins from 8 for them, Sam, would suggest that this is a bit of a wobble.
Well, it's a missed opportunity, that's for sure, given that the two teams just below them have got a game in hand, would have given them a little bit of a cushion going into the next round of games, and they were in a brilliant position. Firstly, it was a great day. So I took one of my sons. Couldn't have been nicer, everyone at the club. The fan zone is well worth a visit for any people that are local or just fancy going to a game of football. Great food, loads to do for the kids. Yeah, really entertaining. We were there very, very early, but yeah, could have stayed there all day kicking the ball about and sampling the good grub. So that was first class. The game, opening half, not so much. I thought Barrow were quite bright, actually, without testing Owen Goodman at all. Put a few decent balls into the box. Presley was quite a presence down the front. Insert a pun, should have done one there. But yeah, they didn't really get going, Wimbledon, albeit they had the two best opportunities of the first half. Stevens missed kicking when well positioned. Maycock, I think it was, with a stinging kind of 25-yarder tipped aside by Farman. And then it kind of burst into life in the second half. Two brilliant goals. Marcus Brown's finish was right in front of where we were sat. Lovely finish. And then the second is a wonderfully finished off move from Stevens. Important for him. I think if you're looking at positives for Wimbledon, obviously there is a huge over-reliance on him. I think that's fair to say. There's not enough of the offensive players at Wimbledon that have had a good enough return this season, goals and assists. So him being in form for the run-in is pivotal to their chances of getting automatic promotion. Great goal. And then probably a reminder of what Wimbledon were a few years ago, you know, when they kind of did this frequently, just gave up opportunities. Obviously, similar type goals, really. Balls cut back into an area for Barrow, finished off. Kind of stemmed from a change. Dean Campbell coming on and did really well. The game kind of pivoted at that moment. I think Aqua was involved in both of the goals as well. Whitfield had missed a big chance early part of the second half. And they were decent, Barrow, so I wouldn't, you know, say it was a smash and grab this point. They played their part in the second half, but yeah, obviously given the position that Wimbledon were in and how they've been in that regard this season, 20 games they've gone in front in, 17 games they've won. It's only happened 3 times. Newport at home and away at Colchester relatively recently. So they are very, very good at defending leads, going in front. This is a bit of an anomaly, and they're just going to have to dust themselves down and focus for, I think, Swindon away, Walsall away. 2 really tough games. So again, just to echo, missed chance for them. But listen, that third position, the second position, maybe even the champions spot in League Two, very much up for grabs. But Barrow had some good results recently, and we shouldn't be surprised. They're a decent side.
Yeah, 4 unbeaten now. Fancy them to have a decent season under Andy Wing once he gets a pre-season under his belt. Now then, last week we talked up Colchester's chances of getting something at Bradford. Final score at Valley Parade, Bradford City 4, Colchester United 1. Incredible effort here, Clarkey, from the locals. 23,381 there to see it. Bradford's largest attendance for a fourth tier game. They'll feel like they've got their money's worth as well. It's the place to be at the minute, isn't it? 11 wins from 12 in front of their own fans in the league.
Definitely. Yeah, they did a ticket deal, didn't they? It was a sort of cut price offer. And the city turned out in force. Brilliant. I remember it happened a lot at Southend when I used to work there in the media, sort of for the BBC. and every time they did it, they get a sellout and the team wouldn't show up. And I used to sit there thinking, oh no, what if only they'd played well, because most people will come back, you know. And it didn't used to happen. So it's brilliant news for the Bantams that they put in such good performance. It was a brilliant performance and a really good game between two excellent teams. I think Colchester weren't that bad, you know. This wasn't a shocker from them. They had chances. They started the game the better, and it's a little bit like Charlton's heavy defeat at Posh. It's one they just got to dust off and not dwell on too much. I think this was all about Bradford rising to the occasion, playing with real passion and intensity. I think that the guy up front made a big difference. Callum Kavanagh, who is the son of Graham, I think, who used to play, isn't he? So he was described as, was it the manager described him as? I want to get this right. It was a little hand grenade dropping little bombs everywhere. I thought it was a great term for like that pest of a forward that's always there, always in the face of defenders, charging things down. He got a couple of goals. So he set the tone, but it was a really dominant win. I think looking at the extended highlights that I saw, there's some great moves down the sides. You know, you got the wide centre back, and then the wing back, and then the wide forward. And on both sides, they were brilliant, actually. I think on the left, Adam Ramona had a great game at wing back with Wright and Critchlow. And those, you know, they just knocked it around. Little 1-2s, give and goes, working their way up the pitch. And I think that's a real strength of theirs at the moment. So, yeah, top performance. And probably with Walsall's woes, it's the kind of display, I would imagine, that's got them dreaming of winning the title. Not just going up, but potentially being champions. This was a statement win.
Yeah, we spoke about the lack of striking options, forward options for Bradford in the lead up to this game. So good for Kavanagh to get the two goals. The manner of the goals as well. When I saw the score and the scorers, I didn't anticipate it to be little striking bits of movement, little finishes in the six-yard box. I kind of associate him with being a bit more of a luxury player, really. I've seen him as a 10, invariably dropping in and got an eye for a pass. So that's really positive. And Lapsley as well, timing his runs from midfield, getting a couple of goals in the six-yard box. And yeah, absolutely the strength of the attacking play looked to come through the two wide boys, Dar Ramona, as Clarkey says, and Halliday on the opposite flank. And yeah, rare off day for Colchester, who had a bit of illness, I think Danny Cowley pointed towards in the squad in the lead up to the game. But he was... yeah, very, very positive about Bradford's performance. Well beaten on the day. And two teams, absolutely, both with an opportunity to get out of the division this season.
Yeah, crazy at the top of League Two. Walsall top 70 points, Bradford 69, Wimbledon 64, as have Port Vale, who are below them on goal difference. But even Doncaster 63, Notts on 62, will still think that they can gay crash that top three as well. Colchester just outside the playoffs, they're eighth, but they play seventh place Grimsby in their next game. At the other end of the table, a big win for the recently renamed Mark Hughes' Carlisle United as they beat Bromley 2-1 at Brunton Park. Means they're 7 points from safety. They do have a game in hand. They need to follow it up with a win, really, though. They've got struggling MK midweek. They haven't won back-to-back games all season. Do you reckon it's on, Sam, or have they left themselves a bit too much to do?
I think they could have a real go at it. I think this is a massive win for them. I mean, they should have been 5-0 up. This is the weirdest game I think I've watched the highlights of and read up on for many a week, maybe, because yeah, they should have been out of sight, and then Bromley have missed three of the most glorious chances to take at least a point. Michael Cheek, one of the best strikers in the division, spurned one or two. Arthurs as well, Kabamba,
great sitters. Goal line clearance as well, wasn't there, from Cameron Harper?
Yeah, just absolute sitters. But you know, looking at Andy Woodman's comments after the game, it's not enamoured with his team's performance whatsoever. I think Carlisle were far and away the better side for the majority. Obviously got themselves in front and were able to hold on. Harry McCurdy going back to Brunton Park, where he's kind of the pantomime villain, and getting another goal. I remember from his time at Swindon, him getting pelters, I think scoring actually in the act, getting those pelters a few seasons ago. So, yeah, weird game, but I think it could prove to be a real catalyst for Carlisle to try and chase Tranmere. I suppose they're the ones that they're trying to drag into the mire, but they've picked up a little bit under Andy Crosby.
Is it just two from three then, do you think, Clark? You wouldn't extend it to Accrington and Harrogate. You've got 41. Morecambe and Carlisle, bottom two, got 30. Maybe a bit too much to make up on them.
Yeah, I think if you were looking at the top end, you might be able to form an argument to say that the teams below are good enough to get enough wins. But these are teams that haven't got very many wins all season. So, yeah, you're expecting a massive swing. I think that those clubs, they might even be safe now. Will they get, you know, another 10 or 11 points, Carlisle or Morecambe? I don't know. But yeah, look, they're giving themselves a chance. It was a really aggressive performance. I felt for Kadeem Harris. Obviously, he missed a penalty, hit the post, didn't he? He hit the post in open play. And he also had a header really well saved.
Brilliant save that was, wasn't it?
It was a great save, but he had half the goal to aim at and went straight where the goalie was, which was, you know, that was his fault, clearly. But it wasn't his day. Wehan in behind Dennis was a good combo. You saw a lot of them linking up great in the first half. I think that Bromley were too passive early on and they allowed those two to sort of really make hay. But yeah, I mean, come the end, you know, Bromley could easily have won it 5-2 because there were so many big chances. But yeah, to have, you know, 58% possession, 20 shots against a good team like Bromley, that'll give Carlisle real confidence so they can get more wins. And then it's over to Tranmere, isn't it?
I was interested by Andy Woodman's comments because he just spoke about the DNA of Bromley and not getting away from that. Too many passes in their own half. It's a huge pitch. Let's play in their defensive half. So just a reminder, I think, to his squad, what's got them success and also some of the new recruits that maybe aren't quite up to speed with his methods. I think, yeah, he wants to continue the trend that's got them success there, the DNA. And it's a little bit, again, different to the majority of the club's kind of blueprint these days. He wants them to be robust. He wants them to be direct and they've had great success doing it. Time is probably not on their side this season. I did look at the fixtures across the last couple of weeks and felt that they had a decent enough run in to maybe force themselves into the reckoning. That's a heavy defeat for them, I think, considering the aims.
Yeah, I just think of teams that go up to the Premier League. So that's a big jump. You know, National League to League Two isn't that big a jump, okay? We get the standard is high, but in the National League now. But if you equate it to the Championship, to the Premier League, I think the key ingredient is be hard to play against, be horrible to play against, be tough, awkward. And that's what Bromley have done. And yeah, I mean, it's not going to be enough to get them up. But yeah, they got a good base to build from. They shouldn't get away from that because you know, that's what makes them. You know, that maybe Sutton, you know, that Sutton couldn't keep it up, could they? Hopefully Bromley can.
Yeah, I had that conversation with someone the other day and I think that it's a perfect comparison, Bromley and Sutton, albeit I think Bromley financially have got a lot more clout and potential for growth in comparison to Sutton. So I think they've got that going for them. But absolutely, it's about kicking on from this maiden season when you're the surprise package and it does invariably happen where you can acclimatise to League Two, take everyone by surprise. It's what happens next season and the following one, because Sutton, Forest Green, another example, teams that have unfortunately fallen back out again.
I've got nothing against Bromley, but I do hope that they lose their next game, which is at home to Salford, because that will give them a record of 1-13, drawn 13, lost 13.
Yeah, clever.
Tricky for Carlisle, but I don't know. What's Jimmy Glass up to? Maybe get him in for the running and see what he can produce. All right, that was the weekend that was. Something a little bit different coming next as we turn our focus back to the Championship. So this is Clarkie's idea, what we thought we'd do, and this is basically because he's been so good at predictions. We're going to predict who's going to get promoted and who's going to get relegated from the Championship. I'm interested to see if we've got the three teams going up all the same. I've tried to mix mine up to some extent, but I think we're probably all going to have at least two of three. Who's going to win it then, Adrian?
Yeah, look, I think we're in for a really good ride between now and the end of the season. Burnley v Sheffield United is the game, isn't it? That is the one. 21st of April, it's the must watch. And I think it will decide who, you know, if there's a winner in that game, I think the winner of that game will go up with Leeds. That's what I'm saying. Look, Leeds are having a wobble, but they've got four very winnable home games. They've got the bottom two away, Oxford away as well, which is very winnable for a team like them. You'd probably say that Borough, Middlesbrough at the Riverside is the toughest one. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went there and won as well. So I do think Leeds will be champions. I think they've got the firepower. I actually have Burnley and Sheffield United down as 98 and 97 points, sort of looking at it. And that's with me predicting that Burnley will beat Sheffield United. So that is the swing game. My eye test this season, when I've watched these teams in the flesh and on the TV, is that I like Burnley more. And so I'm going to go for Burnley to pip Sheffield United, even though their record's crazy good. You know, we all know what their strengths are. This thing that I can't get away from is that Sheffield United have scored three goals or more in two of 38 matches. And for me, it staggers me that they've got as many points as they have. You know, very, very rarely scoring more than two goals in a game. I just think, will that come back to bite them in the running? If they make slip-ups at the back, they're going to drop points. So I'm going to go for Leeds and Burnley, top two. Then it's going to be Sheffield, Sunderland, Coventry and West Bromwich Albion in the playoffs for me, just ahead of Borough, who I think will make a late run.
Who's going to win the playoffs?
I think it's going to be a Sheffield United-Coventry final. I think that Cov will be desperate to finish fifth, so they get Sunderland. They've beaten them recently, and I think they could actually beat them in the playoff semi and then maybe earn a final against Sheffield. And you know what? Give them a shot at it. I think it'd be a cracking final, but I would go for Sheffield United to win it, because, you know, their record over the season has been so much better.
Okay, so Leeds first, Burnley second, Sheffield United up through the playoffs. Yeah, I got Leeds top two. Last three games are nice, aren't they? Back-to-back home against Stoke. Bristol City might be tough, but then finish it at Plymouth. He might well be down by then. I've got a Sheffield United coming second because I think that they might win that game against Burnley. And then I've got Coventry going up in the playoffs. I'm not a tactician, but I do believe in vibes, and that's why I'm going for them. Mm. It's really reminded me of Steve Cooper at Forest, those brightly shining lamps. They've got Sheffield United and Burnley, haven't they, next two games. But yeah, the running is okay, so I think they're going to playoffs with a bit of momentum. Sam, are you going to offer up anything different for your three promoted sides?
I'm not going to offer a different team to get promoted. I can't remember what you just said there, Matt, actually, but I'll just tell you my narrative because I like building a little story. There's more scope for a better final with your teams. Let me say that first. I'm going to go for Sheffield United to win the league.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go with Leeds to be promoted and take their foot off the gas. That's what I'm going to go for. And then Chris Wilder's experience just to come to the fore to keep his players motivated to get the silverware. I think the paramount importance for Leeds to get the job done, huge pressure to get the job done, and I think they will, and I think they'll party, and I think they'll have a few days off in the lead up to what we're looking at, Plymouth final day, Stoke, Bristol City. You catch my drift. I think Sheffield United's games are marginally harder, but I've got them down for a point in that game against Burnley, and Burnley just to miss out, and Burnley to bore us all in the semi-final and get to Wembley and play Coventry, the neutral's favourites, and Burnley to win the final, probably by a goal to nil.
And then we might get another excellent Scott Parker Wembley post-match remixed with the streets talking about his Chinese takeaway video. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? All right, well, we've made it a little bit different from one another there. We shall see. I think the relegation picture is also interesting. I think we might have slightly different ones here. Give me your three and your reasons why then, Adrian.
I'm going to say Plymouth can't make up the gap. They've got a really tough run in as well. So I am writing off Plymouth. I think the rest of it is so close. Could be last day. That is that tight. I'm looking at the run-ins and saying Stoke and Oxford have got really tough run-ins. Derby and Hull have got the best run-ins. I think Derby and Hull are going to survive. Stoke and Oxford are going to be very squeaky, in my opinion. Oxford, I've looked at their fixtures. Oof, they've got three of the top four, all at home, but that's hard. So yeah, I'm gonna actually go with the two teams I saw recently who produced the lowest quality half of football I think I've ever seen in the Championship, and that's Cardiff and Luton. I think that Luton have got some really hard games. They go to Hull, Stoke and Derby away. and we know what their away record's like this season. All of the other games against top nine teams, so I think it's going to be hard for them. And Cardiff is just an eye test thing. I'm just not liking what I'm seeing, really. I know they got a great win against Blackburn last time out, but don't know if they've got... They've got what it takes. So I think Oxford will be the ones squeaky bumming on the final day. But I've got Cardiff, Luton, and Plymouth to go.
You've sort of may talk me out of my own choices there. I've got Plymouth as well. I think I'm sure Sam will too. But basically that derby game, I think the defeat was a killer for them. We know that they really need to get it done at home. Apart from that win at Pompey, their away record's atrocious. Their remaining home games are Norwich, Sheffield United, Coventry and Leeds. So yeah, good luck with that. Sam, have you got Plymouth plus two?
Yeah, I've got exactly the same as Clarkie. Plymouth with Norwich, Sheffield United, Coventry and Leeds at home. That's where their salvation has come, at home park. That's going to be really difficult, especially given their recent performances there, 1 point from the last three. So, yeah, too difficult to make up. I think Cardiff have been really unimpressive every time I've seen them. The one shining light is probably they've maybe got the centre forward in form. When you look across all the teams that are fighting down there, he gives them a little bit of hope of salvaging the season, Salak. But I think that they, 5 wins out of 25, lost 7-0 at Leeds relatively recently. Uncertainty probably over Omar Arizu's long-term future. I think all these elements means that they're going to be right in it. They may survive. Who knows? But I've got them down there. I'd love to say Luton are going to stay up. I looked at the fixtures this morning. The only one that might not have anything on it, and it's quite early actually, is Blackburn at home. Other than that, they're playing teams that are in the promotion mix or desperately battling down there against relegation. I think Blackburn will probably still have aspirations of the playoffs when they meet as well on April the 12th. So I think just for that reason, even though they have improved across the last few games, I can't make a strong enough case for them. You're still looking at the amount of chances they're creating. Can the forwards start converting? Defensively, they've been a little bit better, but I can't make a strong enough case for them. But I completely concur with Adrian that Haaland and Oxford are the two that are probably going to be in the mix with them. Fixtures for Oxford, really, really tough. And Hull, albeit they've stopped conceding recently, defensively they've been really good. I think they're one of the weakest attacks maybe in this relegation battle. So they're going to struggle to score goals, but I'm going to say that they're going to survive. Stoke with the other ones, I just think they've got them and Derby.
They've got better forwards, haven't they?
Yeah, and them and Derby have got enough games. I mean, Derby in particular, enough games where for Derby, a pragmatic manager like John Eustace up against some of the other managers that I've spoken against, I'd just back him. I'd back him to just eke out a few defensive victories at Pride Park. And it's the same with Stoke, albeit, you know, Mark Robins probably will want to play more offensive football in time. I just think they'll have a couple of defensive masterclasses in them in front of their own fans when it's winner takes all. They'll get over the line.
That's disappointing. You won't be surprised to learn that I've got Derby going down just because I can. Plymouth bottom, Derby second bottom. I know they won three in a row, but I think the international break came at the wrong time for them. Their last two are against Hull and Stoke, so they could lose points there. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just me being a Forest fan as much as anything else. Third bottom, I have gone for Stoke, believe it or not. 1 win in 6. They've got to play Luton, Derby and Cardiff, which, I mean, you can look at either way, can't you? Either they're going to pick up points against teams who need them, or they're going to lose them and be set further adrift or be caught up by those teams. And I mean, are you backing them to beat anybody at the minute? They've got three successive games against Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds and Sheffield United. So, I mean, it could be done by the time they draw 0-0 at Derby on the last day of the season and both of them go down. You never know. That would be catastrophic, wouldn't it? Not just for Stoke, but for Mark Robins as well, because he's had enough time to get enough points. I guess, Adrian, we sort of assumed that they wouldn't be part of this conversation by now once they appointed him. So there's reason for them to be fearful.
Definitely, yeah. No, they've got to pull their finger out. You know, they've got the top two. They've got three mid-table teams to come. That's where I expect them to pick up a few points. But yeah, away to Cardiff and then Derby, home to Luton. Bits, some big, big games, pressure games. I just think in Robins and Eustace, me and Sam are trusting. You know, we think that that their presence in the dugout is probably worth the points that it will take to survive. But look, that is no guarantee.
It's going to be fascinating, isn't it? Championship resumes this weekend. Big games all across of it. Right, while we're doing predictions, let's get into our regularly scheduled predictions. Last week's went okay. Sam, you got a perfect score. You went for 1-1 Barnsley against Cambridge. That was your only points of the week. Couple of points for me for correctly predicting the games between Lincoln and Exeter and Notts County would be drawn. Just the 1 point for you, though, I'm afraid. Clarky, do we know what that's done to the totals?
Oh, yeah, I haven't even looked. But it's getting into territory now where we're sort of fighting for second place, aren't we? I'm not going to concede defeat, but Sam's been the best player all season. And I'll give a score update next time. It's doing my head in now.
It's telling, isn't it, Sam, that he stopped updating the scores now that he believes that the chance to catch you is gone?
Yeah, gone the tykes, wasn't it? For me, I saw it go in as well. I think I checked with a couple of minutes to go. Cambridge, a goal to the good. I knew it was coming to secure the three-pointer, which you've just...
I had 2-2 as well. Really annoying.
Did you? No, there's never going to be four in that. Come on, Clarky.
All right, well, teach us a lesson then, Sam. You go first. Sheffield United v Coventry, Friday night. How's it going to go down?
Tricky one, that. Did predict this the other day, but I'm just going to do another prediction for the hell of it. Both teams to score, 2-1, Sheffield United.
Okay, I've got this as a 2-2 draw. About you, Adrian?
That was the one I liked.
Let's go 2-1, Cov. This is, you know, I'm dying on this heel of the Blades somehow missing out on the top two. So maybe they're going to drop points here. Let's see.
Our League One game, I think we're all going to go for the same result, but I'm interested to see what the score will be because it's a top v bottom clash. Adrian, Birmingham have got 83 points. Shrewsbury have got 28. What's the score going to be?
I'm at this game. Doing reports. So, and I'm expecting routine victory for the Blues, but not a thriller. I think it's going to be dull. 2-0.
Sam?
I'm very surprised at that. They beat them, didn't they, at Shrewsbury? So revenge on the cards. 4-0.
That's what I was going to say as well. I'll give Shrewsbury a goal in that case, then 4-1 to Birmingham for me. Doncaster Carlisle to finish. I'll have first dibs at this one and say that it is going to be a 1-1 draw as Sparky's boys pick up a much needed point and Doncaster miss loads of chances. Adrian, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think they're going to come crashing back down to earth, actually. Gave up too many chances in that final 20 minutes against Bromley, and Donny are going to make them pay. Doncaster 3, Carlisle 1.
Sam?
I'm just showboating now. I can see Sparky, few fist pumps, you know what I mean? Back to back, great escape, it's on. 2-1, away win.
Wow, okay, nice. All right, well, we'll keep you up to date with how we get on with that. Before we go, let me remind you again of that offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Very last thing on the agenda, other than me asking you to please leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods to help us grow the show, is our tweet of the week. This comes from the official Bradford City account. It's a quote tweet of their sort of in-game reports, which read, 56, Edwards looks to capitalise on a City mistake which sees him one-on-one with Sam Walker. The shot stopper makes himself big and the forward strikes wide. 2-1. They have then, quote, tweeted this, Bradford City. "We would like to apologise to Sam Walker, who made a sensational stop in the second half this afternoon. Salute emoji. Super Sam Walker in goal. Music emoji. Hashtag BCAFC." And they have screenshotted what is a message between Sam Walker and, I am assuming, the Bradford City admin. "Sam, did you make that save in the second half?" Puzzled face emoji. Sam replies, "I can confirm a little fingertip. Burnham Baldwin, my witnesses. Exclamation mark. Pleased with it, but even more delighted with the lads. Fantastic shift on a fantastic day. VP was bouncing." What I love about this, Sam, is that his answer in a private message is essentially a generic footballer's tweet. I mean, did he know that this was going to get posted as he hit send on it?
Surely he's been briefed here. It's just been made up. Because surely he didn't do that. Because the first bit, that's perfect. That's the perfect response. Confirmed, little fingertip, Burnham Baldwin, my witnesses. That's it. That's where I'm leaving it if I've made the, what was a frightfully good save, by the way. So the...
frightfully good.
Yeah. Is that not a word?
Yeah, no, it is. But not one that you hear much in 2025 in that context.
But, I mean, in 1920s, it was commonplace, but yeah.
The admin must have been sat tunnel side, I know it's in the corner, but you catch my drift, because from the camera angle on the gantry, it's clearly an outstanding save. You can see that clear as day. So I'm a little bit puzzled as to how he hasn't seen it live. But yeah, just bizarre goings on. But yeah, exactly my takeaway, Matt. Why has he just gone into full footballer mode?
Yeah.
You like it, Clarkie? Sam's kind of taking the edge off it for me now by thinking it's contrived.
I love the whole thing. I've got to be honest. I love the fact that he's gone into footballer mode, because it's like, you know, what are you doing, mate? Just speak normally.
Victor.
Completely with Sam. I love
Victor Entrebi's, what's his name? Victor.
An Ichibi
that did Just write something like that. Could have been his agent, couldn't it?
Should it be mentioned that the text has some kind of Bradford theme wallpaper on it? I mean, on the WhatsApp, is that something they've filled in, or is that Sam Walker's?
That makes it less legit, yeah, because it's got the Bradford colours and what looks like BCFC in the background. But then the fact that there are 4 unread messages on this person's chat, if you look in the top left of it, made me think, maybe that does mean it's real. I mean, we'll probably never know.
Honestly, I like the whole thing. I like the fact that Bradford messed up. I like the fact that they're them checked, he's responded, and it's golden. And then they've gone out of their way to share that with the world and make an apology with, obviously, your the world famous salute emoji that you love so much. So yeah, I love the whole story. It's I enjoyed it.
Something a little different to finish on for this week's Tweet of the Week. And listen, the numbers don't lie. It's had 39,000 views and 471 likes. So well done to Bradford and admin. Just hope that you got Sam's permission for that. There we go then. That will wrap up a rare Monday episode for us. We'll be back in the usual time slot next week. Many thanks for joining us today, and to Adrian and Sam for their expertise. Catch up with you again soon. Bye for now.